Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Welcome back to the roundtable. We, if nothing, we're diverse. So you talk to the head of the NSA, the CIA, and now, well, we talk about beer. It's and we do so because the New York State Brewers Association Craft New York Brewers Festival takes place tomorrow at the Desmond Hotel in Albany, New York. I hope you have your tickets, because if you don't, well, they're sold out. But we want to tell you about the very cool things that they have going on. The New York State Brewers Association, Taste New York, and Empire State Development is talking about this festival and all the festivals that will be taking place throughout the state, and really great beers that are here in New York. To tell us more, we have Paul Leone. He is executive director of the New York State Brewers Association. Jeremy, is it Cohen or Cowan?
Cowan.
I thought that. My apologies. And Jeremy Cowan of Schmaltz Brewing Company, who joins us. And Ryan Demir is here. Am I saying that correct?
Demler. It's an L.
Oh, that's an L. Hold on.
More beer.
He's had no beer. No beer has been poured yet. Okay. Just to let everybody
Ryan
know.
Demler is here. He is the from C.H. Evans and Albany Pump Station, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Okay, this is very cool. I remember when you started this festival, Paul. You came the first year, and it was I guess this is your third year.
Third year here, you've had us.
Okay, so and I've been to both festivals, and they're great, and they're really cool and amazing. So, why do they work so well, and how has this continued to be a cool thing?
Well, I think with, you know, there seems to be a festival every week in every state, in every city. Well, what makes ours great is the people that, the two people that are sitting here with us, that the brewers are actually there pouring the beer. And so when you have, gosh, we have 54 New York State breweries together tomorrow from every region of the state. And when people walk up and say, hey, what is this that I'm tasting and where are you from? It adds a whole layer to a festival that you just don't see anymore.
When you think of that, what does it say about the state of craft beer in New York State?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have 240 breweries. When I started this job two and a half years ago, we were at 90. So we have 240. We've got probably 50 more in planning. So the growth is tremendous. And what's driving this is millennials. Millennials and Gen Xers, that age group is really pushing local because they like local food. They like local beer. Anything they can get their hands on. They like to know the people that make their food.
So Jeremy Cowan of Schmaltz Brewing Company, Is that a good thing? Is there a thing as too much?
Too much beer? Too much great beer that's being produced by local breweries. Around here in the Capital District, you've seen the incredible growth of new breweries and also just a lot of retailers that are coming to understand how better beer is better for their, you know, for their pairings with their foods. They've got top shelf wine, top shelf liquor. We need top shelf beer. And we also need New York State brewed beer. We need beer that's using the ingredients from a lot of these farmers and supporting the entire network all the way through from grain to hops to brewing. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's a busy thing. It's an amazing time for consumers here in New York because they have access to the best beer in the entire world. And we're excited to participate in that. And Schmaltz Brewing is doing the best to hang in there in this crazy beer world with all this growth. And it's a fun time.
So for 10, let's say you're reading the business review and it says that there are, you're there in Clifton Park, and in your region there are 10 new breweries or microbreweries expected to open.
Yeah.
Do you look at that as competition, or do you look at that as survival of the fittest, and the more the merrier, and everybody will come around and they'll all get a piece of the pie?
Well, look, right now, craft beer, literally, we think in our little world is so big. But really, it's still 9 to 10 to 11 beers out of 100 are craft beers. So there is an enormous room on retail shelves, especially at chain stores, especially at larger retail So I think that it's nice that it builds the energy, it builds the enthusiasm. But we like it at Schmaltz Brewing because we invite them all. We invite them all to come pour their beers at our anniversary party in the summer.
Yeah.
We invite them to our beer festivals. Ryan's been amazing coming up.
They're a lot of fun.
We do a lot of collaborations as well. We had a Rare Form up and for our IPA Fest, and we ended up keeping one of their beers to have our first ever guest tap. So I love the collaborative spirit of it, as long as people are feeling collaborative, which is wonderful. And, you know, we just need to grow the category. So hopefully retailers will come along with us. We've just gotten a fantastic commitment from Price Chopper here locally, who has really expanded their craft sets. So that's been amazing as taking a leadership role. And I think people will follow. It's a great time for craft beer. So why not put it in front of all these, you know, thirsty consumers?
It is interesting to watch people go in the grocery store now where they're carrying their shopping bags and
yeah.
a growler.
Yeah,
that's great.
Pretty cool.
That's
right?
Pretty neat. Ryan Demler is of C.H. Evans and Albany Pump Station, and he just poured us a beautiful looking beer. Tell me a little bit about this before I try it.
This is our Knickerbocker Lager. It's a German Keller beer, adapted, of course. So the stylistically, it's an unfiltered, hoppy, German-style lager. This was actually developed by my first assistant, Sam Pagano, a couple of years ago. We had some really fun hops from New Zealand, Pacifica hops.
Fun hops!
I mean, all hops are fun, but
yes.
these were particularly fun and new to us. And it's got this fresh, bright hop flavor, a little bit of bitterness from the yeast that's left over in the hops. And this has kind of become a spring staple for us.
And what makes it a spring beer?
I mean,
a little bit lighter, a little bit?
For me, it tastes super fresh. So,
yeah.
You know, part of it was it fit into our schedule the first time around this time of year. And then there became an expectation that we have it at this time of year. So really, that's like the thing that drove it the most for us. But to be honest, there are very few breweries that I've been to or purchased beer from that make Keller beer, at least in the States or North America. And one of the first craft beers that I really, really liked was a Keller beer, and it was released this time of year.
Don't consider myself a huge fan of overly hoppy beers, but this is very nice. Very,
I appreciate
very nice.
That. Thank you.
Great. Now, next up on the so let me ask Paul a question while we get our next beer selection here. And for those of you at home, you know, just we'll tell you what we're drinking, and then you can go out and figure it out and try your own. We'd love to have you here in the studio. We just can't fit you all. That's the problem. Paul Leone, as I mentioned, executive director of the New York State Brewers Association. So to your way of thinking, what Jeremy and I were just talking about, of that idea of going to Price Chopper or going to a major grocery store and seeing all of those opportunities and having craft beers on those shelves, I mean, that's a win for you guys, right?
It is a win. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more room. And like Jeremy said, you know, we're 11% of the entire beer market. You know, we're hoping for 20% by 2020.
That's
I think
right.
that's the main goal at this point. But, you know, I think that the most important thing that has to happen with all of these brewery openings and this growth is that the beer has to be good. I think the consumer today, especially the younger beer drinkers and even the older beer drinkers, understand what a good IPA is or what a good lager is or what a good stout is. And I think you can't squeak them by them anymore. If you brew a bad beer, you're not going to be in business long. So that's what's going to continue to drive the growth, quality.
So next up on our beer hit parade here is the Brewers Wanted Pale Ale. I assume there's a story behind this.
This is a really fun project. We just started a Brewers training program with Schenectady Community College, workforce development, and four breweries from upstate New York. And this is the first beer we put out as a fundraiser for the program. There was such a dearth of professional brewers coming to the upstate region. We had been looking for a brewer for over a year and couldn't find the right applicant, so we decided to train them. So we started a program with FX Matt, Rare Form, and Adirondack Brewing. There's an education program. There's an on-training, on-the-job training. And so Statewide Pale Ale is a fundraiser that we did for the New York State Brewers Association, and it evolved into Brewers Wanted, which is a fundraiser now for this professional brewers training program. It's a great New York State pale ale. It's brewed with 100% New York State malt, as well as New York State Cascades, and just a lovely beer. We're really proud of this Brewers Wanted beer.
Which is really important to understand that, you know, it's a growing, agriculturally, this is a growing state beyond the beer, and I think that this is a great way to showcase what we're doing in New York agriculturally.
Growing and malting, so there's not, you can't just brew with beer. You can't just brew beer with grains that just grew. Then you need them malted as well. So we use Pioneer Malting. They did an incredible job for us on the two-row in this. And we've been really happy. And again, this is one that's featured, coincidentally, at Price Chopper, and but also at bars around the region. And The Ruck in Troy is going to be featuring Brewers Wanted, a number of top-shelf beer bars. It's a win-win project. And this program will then be a model for the rest of the state, so that we can continue to train brewers. Like Paul said, went from 90 breweries to 250 in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And the programs around the country that graduate brewers are 40 to 50 a year total, individuals. How are we supposed to get professional brewers that can keep the quality up? How can we get professional brewers who can be safe?
It's a really big part of, it's a need right now. The brewing industry needs people that know how to brew good beer. And it's not as easy as everybody would think it is. I think everybody thinks that brewers sit around and drink beer all day.
I don't think that's easy. I see, and maybe it's just because I know a lot of guys who do it, but it's very smart. It's very, there's a lot there. Way too much science and math for me.
A lot of chemistry.
I'm going to say that it is easy.
Right.
As the guy who brews it, you're the guy that makes it look easy. But at the end of the day, too, you think about who gets into our industry, and nobody gets in it to make money. We get into it because there's a real love and passion for it. And so, you know, constantly people are like, oh, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. Like, breweries work pretty hard.
Yeah.
But it is so gratifying and rewarding. And a lot of it is kind of the growth aspect is really nice, especially with where we are in New York State agriculture contributing. But a big thing, too, is when, in particular, at events like what we're hosting on Saturday, you know, to be able to go there and have people come up to you and be like, man, I really like this beer. It's like, I joke that we don't make beer, we make happiness. I mean, you know, it's something that I think if you talk to anybody who does artistry or food or beverage, to have people react so positively to what we do is really, really rewarding. So it makes whatever work we do seem not that terrible.
Very well said. Ryan, could I have more happiness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's his first time doing this. Perfect. Jeremy's on it, but we'll get Ryan on.
So this is actually, speaking of happiness, this is a really exciting endeavor for us. The C.H. Evans Brewing Company was founded in Hudson, New York in 1786 and grew to be one of the largest breweries in the Northeast. And then America's wonderful little experiment happened and they went out of business. Neil Cornelius IV reopened our doors in 99, where we are currently, and we hadn't done any bottled beer since before Prohibition. So we recently got into doing barrel-aged beers and kind of small-run stuff, and then finally got into, you know, labels and contacting TTB and all of those guys. And this is a rum barrel-aged Poor Soldier Porter, which we're featuring at our the VIP hour tomorrow. And the nice thing about this is we use a little bit of New York State-grown six-row malt, also from our friends at Pioneer, because they do a wonderful job. And then fresh-emptied rum barrels from our neighbors, the Albany Distilling Company. So yeah, this was a really fun beer for us.
So tell me how does the rum work into this? How does
it imparts a little bit of rum characteristic, like legit rum characteristic, and then the oak acts to kind of dry it out at the end. Then you get a little bit of vanilla in there from the wood. For this beer, we used fresh use barrels, and then we used second use barrels, which contribute a little bit more oak and a little bit less like rum booze. And then we blended it with fresh beer to kind of balance everything out. So it's the rum kind of sits back there. I refer to this as kind of a delightful rummy chocolate milkshake of a beer.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that works. A good way. It's very dark. So what's the alcohol content?
A very easily drinkable 8.2%.
God bless you.
There you go.
Okay. That's a good.
I want to add to that. It's funny
jolt.
When you've been to plenty of beer festivals, right? So
oh, yeah.
I think what's really important.
I always
tell people that one of the first questions they should ask is, what is this? The second what's the alcohol? Because, you know, brewers have done such a great job of integrating the alcohol that it doesn't taste like it's an 8.2% beer. And you all of a sudden, an hour in, and you're ready for a nap.
And then you remember, and then you find out, and then you ask the question, and then it's too late, right?
And then you don't remember anything at the end of the night.
So just talk a little bit, Paul, about festivals as when they're working and when they're good, of what you as a beer community get out of them.
Well, for us, you know, I mean, for us, it's a primary fundraiser for us. But secondly, and I think just as important, is that it's a great way to market New York State beer. You know, New Yorkers are an interesting group. You know, Vermonters are extremely passionate about their beer, and they'll only drink Vermont beer. And I think New Yorkers aren't really there yet. And so a festival like this, when it's only New York State beer, with local food, by the way, a lot of great local restaurants sampling food, it's a great way to market New York State beer is, hey, look at us. You know, all of these breweries are here, and we do good beer here in New York State. So it's the best way. So marketing is a great way, and I think that's why the state gets behind it. The Empire State Development, I Love New York, is behind this one because they know it's a great way to market New York State beer.
I just got an email that said, how could you be drinking beer at 11:30 in the morning? And my response being, I know, it's about an hour later than normal, right?
Amen to that.
So what do we have here?
So this is a beer called Funky Jubilation from Schmaltz Brewing Company under the Hebrew banner. This is the fifth year, the fifth release that we've done this monster complex beer. It's an experiment. It's an adventure every year. It's what's called a barrel-aged sour. This Funky Jubilation is a blend. So it's the base beer is our anniversary beer called yes. Jubilation each year. We've aged that for about 11 months in used rye and bourbon barrels that have been over the years getting kind of critters in them and flavors that, you know, 15 years ago you would have said, are you crazy? We're not drinking that. And now sour ales have become really the leading, kind of the outer edge of craft beer, but very popular category. And so this is our barrel-aged sour. It's a blend of Jubilation as well as seven other ales and lagers that we make that we age in these barrels that we've been using now for 3, 4, and 5 years.
Do you think, and I ask this question because I remember a ton of years ago having my first, going to a brewery and having a sour beer, and I thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my life, and it was awful. And now I've come to love them. So exactly. are our tastes changing? Do we get used to things or are we just getting better at making
them? Well, it's a combination, right? The first time we drank when we were, let's say, 21 and or other ages, that beer didn't taste all that great either. And we punished our taste buds into submission for other purposes, maybe social, maybe chasing girls, whatever it could have involved. So now we are evolving our taste buds towards sophistication and connoisseurship, but it's just beer. Look, when people come up and they want to taste that amazing wine and you're like, I don't know, it's like, I don't even know what to say about it. And you feel awkward and you feel uncomfortable and the waiter's looking at you funny. Beer's not like that. Beer's supposed to be fun. It's carbonated. It's made from grains. And we're using bourbon and whiskey barrels to make this beer. What's not fun about that? So it is complex. It's very unusual. But for people who oftentimes might say, you know, I don't really like beer, we oftentimes say, you know, that beer that you're thinking of that you don't like, we don't like that beer either. We like these beers, ones with flavor and with complexity, more like a food experience. And this beer is more like dessert. It's like port. It serves the purpose of an after-dinner drink, but it also goes great with food. So there's a lot going on in beers like these.
Ryan, let me ask you this question. Since we're lucky enough to have a brewery in our town, the Argyle Brewery.
So you're in Greenwich.
I'm in Greenwich.
Yeah.
So I am in Greenwich, and so I don't drink any beer that isn't fresh, and I don't know I'm now a snob. I don't.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing, except that when you do, like when you go elsewhere, you're like, So, but what is it about fresh beer? What is the positive to that, and why? Because I didn't think you'd be able to tell, but man, you can tell.
Oh, well, most beer should be consumed fresh, of course. Like there are some beers, for instance, like the Funky Jubilation is something that would stand up pretty well over time.
Yes.
Or our Rum Barrel Aged Porter. But the vast majority of beers that we produce, we want fresh. Light is the enemy. Oxygen is the enemy. Invariably, there's always oxygen that gets into a bottle or a can. So over time, that's going to degrade the beer. If it's in a bottle, then you're always concerned about light. You're worried about temperature fluctuation or heat or whatever. So when you get to go to a small brewery like Argyle Brewing or like us at the C.H. Evans Brewing Company, like all of our beer is for the most part, served right there. And when you get to go to the tap room at Schmaltz Brewing Company, it's like, oh, hey, you know, like they came out of those tanks and they went in that keg and then that keg went underneath this bar and they're pouring me that beer right now.
Right.
So, I mean, the freshness factor is there. And to be honest, like I completely relate to what you're saying because over the last couple of years, I've been taking a lot of sensory evaluation classes and off-flavor stuff. And it's something that we think about and we're constantly wary of. This goes into, are we providing the best product for our consumers? Are we making sure that we're making good beer? And it's not just reflective on us. It's reflective on the industry. Right. So, you know, God forbid somebody comes to our brewery and has a bad beer experience and they're like, oh, maybe craft beer isn't that great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the goal for us is to make sure that every beer that we serve is excellent, not just so people are like, oh, the beer at the pump station's awesome. It's so that New York beer is great and craft beer is great. And the best way that we can do that is making sure that we're serving beer at the optimum time. So for our barrel-aged beer, bottle-conditioned beers, by the way, like these are old. These have spent a lot of time in barrels and a fair amount of time in bottles. And so what we're doing once we get in the bottles, we'll panel it once a week. And then as soon as we're ready to go, it's like, all right, cool, this beer is ready to go. This is good to drink.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And on the fresh end, I mean, we're fortunate in that we move through beer so quickly at the restaurant. But, you know, if we go to an account and say I have a beer of ours and it's not quite there yet, like, oh, this tastes like it could be old. Let me go check the date code on that. Like, all right, we'll be back tomorrow. We got to swap this out.
Yeah.
So the fresh factor is there. And again, you know, like Jeremy had mentioned and Paul and you have mentioned, like, the palate is evolving. People are not willing to kind of sacrifice you know, standards just because it is something. And I think it's great. Right. Like, you know, we talk about the growth and it's wonderful. The growth and quality is really, really good. But I think expectations for consumers are exceedingly high now, which is great because it drives us brewers to make really good beer. And to be honest, like, I like it because I want to have fresh beer available for people. And when I go to other breweries, I want to make sure that the beer is fresh. I mean, every time I buy a bottle or a can, I'm looking for the date code. Like, you know, that's something that I do. Draft beer, you know, if you're at a bar, you don't really know. You can't go in the cooler and check the collar on it.
Right.
But people that do, you know, good business, we're all concerned about fresh beer from brewery to distributor to bar.
And there also seems to be a lot more pressure on bars and beverage centers and grocery stores to have more craft beer, right?
Yeah,
because people are coming to expect that. I mean, I've heard this where people will go into a bar and they say, "Well, why don't you have this local beer? Why don't you have that local
beer?" Well, and
beer?
The consumer's driving that, right? Which
yes.
is pretty amazing. And that, one of the things about the beer industry that people really don't understand is the sales channel. So, a conversation for another day is just how does the beer get to the bar? How does the beer get to Price Chopper? And that there's economic decisions that go into that. But people should educate themselves about that so they understand who's taking care of their beer, who's giving them the options, who's bringing all these interesting flavors, who's allowing these seasonals to reach the end consumer. And those are important questions, and I hope people will continue to educate themselves by coming to breweries and talking to brewers and coming to this festival mm-hmm. and understanding what this channel is that we're working through mm-hmm. so that they can get fresh beer, so they can have their options for them, so that they can meet the actual people that make it, so they can meet our fabulous executive director who's
right.
working his tail off to make
right.
all this stuff happen. Right.
So in 30 seconds that we have left, tell me about this beer.
So this beer, actually, in addition to the other two that we're releasing at the event, and this we're putting on top of the restaurant, this is our Habanero Pale Ale that we're calling 10,000 Scovilles.
Well, hello!
Yeah.
That'll
man!
Make
it.
That's
so we
wow.
took our house
the
pale ale,
that?
We age it on maybe a few too
a
many
couple.
Habanero peppers, but it's got a nice
Whoa.
Bit of back of the throat heat, really beautiful fruity hop aroma. So we're actually pretty excited about this.
Where's
we've done a few pepper beers over the years, and this beer we got the heat up just enough, I think.
Right. Damn!
And some wonderful, but before you get into it, just take a big deep whiff.
Yeah.
You got some great fruity hop aroma, a little bit of fresh green pepper, and then some nice back of the throat.
All right,
bite.
We have to go. We have to go because the British people have to tell us the news. But we thank you very, very much. You can find out more about what's your website?
Thinkndrinkny.com.
Okay. And you can find out more. Check out Schmaltz Brewing Company. Check out C.H. Evans Albany Pump Station.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much. Have a great time.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.